Amen, and good morning, Evangel. Everybody's good today. It's spring. It's a good day to be in church, yeah? Yeah, it's a good day to be in church. I have an announcement to make. I have a story to tell you. And some of you are on my email list, and you know that I said on this week that there's going to be a big announcement in church on Sunday, and I found out that on Friday night at the gathering place, somebody went to Pastor Joe and said, "Who else is leaving?" So nobody's leaving. It's a good story. So here's what I wanted. So this past week, Jeff and I, we moved here and started here 4 months exactly this past week. 4 months. That's not the story, but I thought I'd throw that in. And in that 4 months, it has been a busy time because in that 4 months, we moved here and then we had a building dedication service and an induction service. And then, oh, it was Christmas. And then, oh, it's New Year's. And then, oh my goodness, Pastor Bill's retiring. And so there was just one thing after another. And then at the same time, we were processing through with Pastor Joe and his exciting announcement of church planting in Broussard on the South Shore and all of that happening at once. And at the same time, just trying to keep up with life and figure out what is going on in this city of Montreal. And so it has been a little bit full. And in the middle of all of that, we also were looking for somebody that could begin to replace the hole that has been left and the role that's been left by Pastor Bill. Anybody here other than me missing Pastor Bill? Right? I got both hands up because, oh my goodness. And he has been so helpful. So the last several months, really the last few months, Pastor Bill and I have been working actually really hard on trying to find somebody who could fill that spot and who could come here that God would have next for us on our pastoral staff. And you go, "I thought he retired." He doesn't know what retirement means. So he's still helping. He phoned me three times this week. And each time was an hour-long conversation. And so he's just fantastic. So a few months ago before he left, we started just looking through names, and we pulled out actually a church directory of every PAOC pastor in Canada. We covered every name from coast to coast to go, "God, who could it be?" We went through a bunch of names and went through a bunch of process and did a bunch of stuff and a bunch of praying, and "God, please help us to know who to get." And we think we found somebody, but they weren't in Canada, which is why it took us so long. Now, let me just put this on pause here for a moment. Because a few weeks ago, we had visitors in church. And if you're on my email list, you already know this story. But Jeff and I said that we had friends from out of town visiting church, which was sort of true. And we had asked them, we said, "We want you to come to Evangel. But when you come to Evangel, can you come like a secret shopper? I want you to come undercover and tell us what your experience is as a visitor when you come into Evangel." And how many of you just got nervous right now wondering if you were nice to people 2 weeks ago? That's right. That's the knot I have in my stomach every Sunday morning. And so they came and I went to them afterwards and I said, "What was your experience like? How'd it go?" "It was so good, you guys." So they were greeted several times on the way into the building, which is great. People said hello to them. And then Sydney, who is one of our heroes here, one of our greeters. Sydney, are you still here? He's back there at the back, just waving. Okay. Sydney went up to them and said, "Can I take you on the tour of the building?" And he took them around the whole building and said, "This is where washrooms are. This is where the Connect Cafe is. This is where you go for Get Connected. Here's all the things." And then he handed them off, I think, to Prem, who's usually probably not even in here. He came to me last service and said, "Pastor Patty, you know I'm always outside greeting people." So that's where he is. But Prem walked them in and said, "Where can I get a seat for you? Where would you like to sit? I want you to be in the place that you want to be." And then after Prem sat them down, at the end of the service, we finished the sermon, and Sabina came up to me, and she was waiting for at least a solid 5 minutes while I was talking to somebody else. That's a long time to wait after a service. And she came up to me, and I said, what can I do for you? And she said, "Pastor Patty, there are visitors in church today, and I just met them, and I want to introduce you to them." And I said, "Really? Visitors in church?" And so she took me over to our friends that were here as secret shoppers, and she said, "I want to introduce you to Pastor Patty," and she introduced me to them, and I said, "Hello, I'm Patty, what's your name?" And I'm sorry, I lied just a little bit, but I just wanted them to have the full experience. And so all of that happened, and you know, the Bible says that sometimes when we entertain people or when we're kind to people, it turns out that they're angels. Well, this wasn't an angel that you all welcomed 2 weeks ago. It was our new new pastor, our new executive associate pastor who was here undercover, and you all did a really good job of welcoming them to church. So I want to introduce to you Pastor Rob Moore and his wife Jana and their family, Jared, Madison, and Chelsea. They came all the way from Thailand. We couldn't find the right person in Canada, so although they're Canadian, we just went global, and they were doing missionary work and stuff in Thailand, and so there's a few things they have to finish up in Thailand, so they're starting, Pastor Rob is starting a week from tomorrow, but he's going to be half-time until about mid-July or so, because they got to get some things moved. How many know it's not just an overnight thing to move from Thailand back to Canada, right? So we figured we could allow some grace on that. But I really wanted you to meet them. I wanted to say thank you to all of you for being so kind, because otherwise they might not have come. And make sure that you welcome them and just say hello and introduce yourself to them at the end of the service. Sound good? That's a good announcement, yeah? That's a good announcement. So I want to take us into God's Word today, and I really want God to connect with our hearts. So I'm going to ask if you would hold out your hands. And as if you've been here at all, you know that for me, this is a symbol of saying, God, I'm open to what you have. So God, we hold out our hands to you and we just welcome you in. Welcome you, Holy Spirit, in. We invite you, God, to make our hearts really open to you today. Our soul and our spirit, help us to hear what you have to say. Help us to hear it for us, not just to hear it, but to hear it for us and why it matters the rest of this week. And I pray that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine. Her name's Catherine. And she's a person that I knew in a previous church. And at the church that I was pastoring a while ago, she and her kids moved into the neighborhood a number of years ago. And they started attending our church. And we all met them and got to know them a little bit. And at that time, in the church that we were at, we had a saying there that was, everyone has a story. Say that with me. Everyone has a story. You understand that that means we're not a bunch of cookie-cutter perfect people, but we've all got a story, right? So everyone has a story. We said that often, and it didn't take very long before Catherine's story started to show. She started talking with me, and I started getting to know her, and it turned out that in her childhood, she had gone through horrific, horrific child abuse and had been the victim of that. And I, as a pastor, have heard stories of abuse many, many times, and hers, to be honest, was the worst that I had ever heard. And she would tell it to me sometimes in a disjointed fashion or little bits as she remembered or as they sort of came to her, and I really couldn't sort it all out. Sometimes she had flashbacks while I was talking with her, and so we would be in the middle of a conversation, and she would just kind of just be gone. And I'd have to, you know, kind of work to try to bring her back and try to help her out a little bit. And the abuse that she had suffered as a child had caused chronic physical problems as well, especially in her back. And so she was in pain all the time, but the disability wasn't visible, so not everybody understood that it was there. Not everybody knew that it was there, but it was a real disability that she had. I went with her to doctor's appointments and saw the x-rays myself. And so she struggled with that. And then to top it off, she also had post-traumatic stress disorder from the abuse that she had suffered as a child. So you understand when somebody has all of that as part of their story, they don't always function well, right? So she didn't always function well. She didn't always relate well. Sometimes she would chat with me and be really trusting with me. And then other times she'd be really mad at me and really frustrated with me. And other times she would pull away and go really, really silent. Sometimes she would be at the church really incredibly helpful in getting a lot of tasks done because she really wanted to be valued and to have a place and to, you know, all of that stuff. And then other times she would feel that she hadn't been valued enough or whatever and needed to set some boundaries, and she would pull back. And sometimes she would come to church, and she actually, if I recall correctly, did this for months. She would sit in the church, like different building obviously, but on that side over there, and she would sit in a corner of a pew against the wall, kind of curled up in the fetal position, and she would sit there through the whole service like that, just radiating this sense of, don't anybody talk to me. and just really struggling. And sometimes she would sit in my office just for a few hours, just silently weeping. And a couple of times I went with her to hospital or called 911 in order to get help for her out of attempted suicide. So I tried everything I knew to help her. Everything. And I did everything that I knew that might be able to bring support for her. I tried to get her some counseling, but she had run the gamut of psychiatrists and doctors and specialists and support groups and therapists and addiction recovery groups, and none of them worked, and she didn't trust them anyway. And I got women in the church to come alongside of her and try to just love her and be with her and help her. And I tried to give her scriptures that were, I really believe, are good tools to help when you're struggling with your mind and you're looking for healing. And I practiced using them with her. And I prayed for her and I fasted for her. And I did everything that I needed to do. To be honest, I really went above and beyond my normal boundaries of what I can do for somebody, because I just was so desperate to see her get better and to see God help her. And finally, after I poured in several years of doing that, I came to an end. And I didn't know what else to do. I had nothing left. I had given everything I had. Our church had given every resource that we had, everything we had to give, and I had nothing else. No other answers. And that's when a good pastor looks at you and says, and that's when God intervened and a miracle happened, just like that. It's not what happened. I gave up is what happened. Not on God, just on my ability to be able to do anything at all. And so I said, you know, you're welcome to keep coming here, but I don't have anything left to offer you. You just keep being part of things, and within these guidelines, you can still, of course, you belong here, you're part of our church, but I don't have anything else that I can offer. And that was that. How many know it can be hard to follow Jesus and to live in the way that Jesus said to live? Yeah, right? To live Jesus' heart and to follow that heart and to follow the principles that he laid out for us about how his kingdom works and how his church should work, it's very difficult. It's very countercultural. It makes no sense at all. And if you take some of the things that Jesus said, you realize they're just completely unfair, and they're terrifying sometimes, can make you feel vulnerable, and they're just really almost ridiculous in their extravagance. So for example, Jesus said things like, in his kingdom and in his church, the greatest should serve the least. The most important people should serve the least important people. That's crazy. That's not the way our world works. Jesus said things like, always forgive. And we go, uh-huh. No, always forgive. Okay. Always, right? Even that thing now that just popped up in your head. Well, she doesn't mean always. Always forgive. Say that with me. Always forgive. Always forgive. He said crazy things like that. He said things like, yeah, it's not going to be fair, the kingdom of God. And he told this whole parable about people that were hired for a day, and they were promised a day, you know, a specific wage to work for a day. And then the guy went out and hired more people through the day. And then there was this crowd that got hired in the last hour, and they got paid the same as the ones that got paid the full day. And these ones were upset about it. And Jesus was like, I never said it was going to be fair. I'm being generous to everybody. And that's one of the principles of his kingdom. One of the principles of how his church works, and it can be hard to follow that. It can be hard to live by those promises, by those principles, but following Jesus means following Jesus and understanding his heart, what matters to him, what he says matters, and taking those things and making sure that I'm living in a way that shows that I have the same values and the same things that matter as Jesus does. And it's so difficult to hang on to that. And so for me, when I'm trying to hang on to that, it drives me back over and over again to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the stories of Jesus are told, because it's really easy for me to drift from what he says is important. And so to me, the parable of the sheep is this stunning reminder of what Jesus says is important. Here we go. Matthew chapter 18. It's in the Message version, 12 to 14. Look at it this way, Jesus said. If someone has 100 sheep and one of them wanders off, doesn't he leave the 99 and go after the one? And if he finds it, doesn't he make far more over it than over the 99 who stay put? Your Father in heaven feels the same way. He doesn't want to lose even one of these simple believers. How many have heard that story? Right? I know, Patty, I've heard the story. I'll just zone out now because I know where you're going with it. I know you've heard the story. I've preached the story. Half of you have probably preached the story or taught it to somebody in Sunday school or you've done something like that. But here's the question. What if we actually lived it? What if we actually lived this story of the 99 sheep and the one that wandered off? What if we actually did church in such a way that we actually go after the one unimportant person that nobody else cares about, that nobody else thinks matters, and we left the 99 others to fend for themselves a little bit? What if we actually did that? I mean, let's be honest. That's not efficient. That's not good time management. It's not an efficient way to run church. It's not a good time management way to live. Common sense says you look after the 99. If you have to choose between 99 and one, hello, you look after the 99. They're the ones that are already here. They're the ones that are safely in the fold, and you just let the one go. You can't win them all. Nobody has 100% success rate all the time. And come on, 99, that's pretty good, right? That's a pretty good success. I only lost one. That's good. And it's efficient for a church to spend all its time and spend all its energy working for the majority and working with the dominant culture in the most important ones. It makes the most sense and it's most efficient to work for those ones, with the ones who've been here the longest, with the ones who are safely within the fold, safely within the walls. It's way more work and it's inefficient. It is not good time management to try to help or to try to work with the ones who are unstable and who are unpredictable and who are unproven and we don't even know. And then they just go wander off without warning. It's a lot of work to track those ones down. It's not efficient at all. It's not good time management to work with that one. Just let that one go. I mean, we're sad they're gone and everything, but just let that one go because who's got time? The 99 need to be fed. They have needs. And then who's got time to go wandering off and follow one that has gone off somewhere out the door? We don't even know where they're gone. We don't even know why they left. Who even knows where they went? Who knows if they even want to come back? Just let that one go. And Jesus said, yeah, it's not enough, really. Jesus wasn't willing to lose that one, so he left the 99 to go find one. And I'll bet the 99 weren't very pleased with that. I'll bet the 99 were a little unhappy, but if you compare it to the rest of the parables that Jesus told, he told the story about the prodigal son. He's the one that went off and the older brother that stayed and was faithful. He wasn't really pleased about that whole celebration for the one that came back. And the parable that I already said about the people working a short time and the people working a long time, these ones were, you know, the 99 can get a little huffy sometimes. Not all of them, but some of them can get a little huffy. And I don't see, they're probably wondering, the 99 are standing in the fold going, where'd the shepherd go? Where'd the shepherd go? Right? They're probably not entirely pleased that he's not there. And for the record, I don't see Jesus as having completely abandoned them or left them in an unsafe space. The 99, they're in safe space. They're together in the fold. They've got each other. They can look after each other to some extent. They're not going to starve. He hasn't deserted them. He's going to come back. If he's not willing to lose one, then he's not willing to lose 99 ones. They might just have to hold off a little bit. They might not get full attention. Their dinner might be a little bit late because Jesus is gone after one. And we're supposed to be following Jesus. We're supposed to be following his heart, and Jesus' heart was for the one, the lost one, the one that was in danger, the one who wandered off. And here's the thing that Scripture doesn't say. The one who wandered off, it's probably going to happen again. They're probably going to wander off again. There's a reason that the one wandered away. How many know that often when the one wanders away, it's because they don't fit with the 99? Anybody know anyone that doesn't fit very easily? The one always has a story. There's always a reason they don't fit for any number of reasons. It might be they're just a little bit awkward with the rest. It might be they're creative type. Creative types tend to be ones. They tend not to fit with the crowd. It may be that they have a story, a history of when they were in church once. I mean the fold, the sheep fold once, and it didn't go well, and they had a tough time, and they don't want to come back, and so they just sort of wandered off. Or it might be because they have their own sense of shame, or they have fear, or they're just whatever, curiosity, and they wandered off somewhere. That one that wandered off in the parable wasn't wild. The one had been part of the 99 at one point. There used to be 100. Now there's 99, and one's gone off. And she used to be part of it, maybe, but wandered off, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, probably has wandered off before, probably will wander off again. How many know that sometimes life is messy? It gets messy. Life gets really messy sometimes. And the ones, you know, those lost ones that are on the margin and are on the fringes of everything that's happening in a church or in society, they have challenges sometimes that I don't know about and that you might not know about and that maybe none of us have had to overcome, but they're trying to get through life sometimes, trying to make that work. And those ones, they need safe space. And they need endless second chances. And they need extra grace. They don't need another program. They don't need a form to fill out or another layer of bureaucracy. Programs and forms and all that, they are made for the majority. And they usually work pretty well for the majority. But the ones are the ones because they're not part of the majority. And they don't need another form. And they don't need another program. They just need sometimes a real person to look at them and say, you matter. You really matter. You have value. They need somebody that will go out and find them and bring them back based on a fierce belief that God values the one. Because the one matters. And one of the key values that Jesus demonstrated during his time here on earth, over and over again, he showed this idea that the one matters. Time and time again, he leaves a crowd, or he ignores a crowd, or he puts a whole crowd on pause. Sometimes he really ticks off the crowd in order to go after one. One that the rest of the crowd hasn't even seen, that they don't even care about, that they don't think is important at all. He did it over and over again. He did it with the woman who was bleeding for years. He did it with the man who had a demon and was just out of his mind. He ignored a whole town for that guy. He did it for a 12-year-old girl. Nobody cared about 12-year-old girls back then. He did it for a blind man begging on the side of the street, stopped the whole crowd, ignored the crowd, put the crowd on pause to go after the one, because the one matters to the heart of Jesus. And the ones, there's so much more work. With needs that I can't meet. And with wounds and hurts and pain that I can't heal, but all I know is I can still go after them. And I can still follow them out to where they are. I can bring them back to safety if they'll let me. And if they won't let me, I can still keep the door open and say, well, you're welcome back whenever you want to come. And more than that, I can go out there and I can show them the unending grace and the extravagant love of Jesus in their space where they are until they're ready to come back home. I can do that. Because really, here's the thing. When we look at this story, all of us in here, usually we tend to place ourselves as the one. Each of us goes, I'm the one. I'm the one that Jesus went after. I have never yet had anybody tell a testimony and say, well, I was part of the 99 and I was fine. And the shepherd left and went after somebody else and it totally changed my life. No one ever places themselves as part of the 99. Nobody does that. Everybody assumes that we're the one. And what we need is, we need people who will actually be like Jesus, not the one, and not necessarily the 99, but people who will do what the shepherd did and will notice when one is missing and will leave the 99 in order to go find that one. That's the heart of Jesus. Because the bottom line is, we can't follow Jesus if we care more about the crowd than about the ones. We can't follow Jesus if we care more about staying with the crowd than we do about going after the ones. And I don't know how that works sometimes, because the truth is that in a group like this of the 99, there's often lots of ones scattered throughout. And that's a true thing. And on the other hand, there's ones out there who don't want to be found, thank you very much, and they're not actually interested in coming back. And that's understandable too. But so I don't know how it all works out, but I do know that if we ever lose our heart and our passion for the ones, then we've lost the heart of Jesus, if we ever do that. He modeled it to his followers when they shooed away unimportant people. Shh, leave the Savior alone. No, go away, you're bothering him. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. You let them through. That one matters. And I don't think, I'm going to just stretch this parable a little bit, okay? You can talk over lunch over whether I'm allowed to or not. I don't think that the point of the parable is for the shepherd to go after the one while the 99 stay and tap their foot waiting for the shepherd to come back. I don't think, maybe I'm taking it too far, but, you know, can I just play with it a little bit? I don't think the point is for the 99 who are within to say, well, okay, Pastor, you go after that one. Don't take too long. But you go after the one, we'll be fine here until you get back. I don't think that's the point. I think maybe the point would be that the whole 99 go after the ones, that all the 99 within follow their shepherd and go after the one, so that each one goes after one instead of the 99 safely congregating in the fold. And imagine the heart of Jesus that would be shown if the 99 didn't just gather together. But picture it, if the 99 sheep, well-fed and strong, left the fold to go with the shepherd after the one. I mean, imagine being that one little lost sheep over here going, ah, right? And he not only sees the shepherd come over the top of the hill, but the whole stinking flock comes too. Can't believe she just said that. Imagine if the whole flock was there and they went to that one lost sheep and said, we found you. You belong with us. Come on home. Imagine the heart of Jesus that would be shown through that. So back to Catherine, my friend, the one I gave up on. About a year after that, I looked around and I noticed she was still there, not curled up anymore, actually standing and singing the songs and participating, and she's still there. And she was starting to read her Bible. And she would write me little notes about messages that I was speaking and say, Patty, you know, I took this one to heart, and I went home, and I read what you said, and I did it, and I'm starting to figure out how to apply it. I went, wow. And then she wrote me a note and she told me she had heard me one day tell my own story of walking through some painful things. I mean, comparatively nothing to what she had been through, but that I had walked through my own story of challenge and of pain and of hurt, and how God had at one point kind of re-walked me through that story, and in the various places where I had been hurt, God had just helped me learn to speak forgiveness, to forgive the people that had hurt me, and to receive healing from God and just make me whole again, you know, in those spaces. And she heard that story and she went and did the same thing. She went to all the places where she had been physically abused, and she went physically to those places and sat outside them and said, okay, God, walk me through this. And went and started praying forgiveness for people that had hurt her and started asking God to bring healing to her in those places. I didn't even know she was listening. And she wrote me this note and told me that she had done this. And some time went by, and now she's working, actually. And she's working at a job that works with her disability so that she can do both and she can be productive without overdoing it. And she took the financial course at the church that was offered a few times and got her finances back under control. And, I mean, working with a very, very limited income because she's on disability and working part-time and managing to manage those ridiculously tight finances, she was able to pay off her debts. And now she's moved into a house that she's renting, a small house, instead of the tiny little apartment that she was living in. And now her kids are doing really well and they're getting an education. And I did one of their wedding last summer. And they're walking in their faith out in the same church community that their mom is. And Catherine, last fall, just before I left, told her story. She was the last person whose story I got to hear publicly before we came here. And she finally was able to tell her story of finding healing through Jesus, of something that Jesus had done in her life. But here's the thing, and here's the thing that matters. Mostly, the story of her healing through Jesus was Jesus as carried and reflected by the church, the 99. Messy and imperfect as they were, so that even when I had given up and I didn't know what to do, the 99 went after her. Because she was a one in the 99. But most of those 99 had also been ones at one point. And they knew what it felt like, and they knew how it was, and they knew that somebody needed to go after her, and so they went after her. And they loved her, and they stood by her, and they came alongside of her, and they found her over and over and over again. And now that one, who matters so much to Jesus, is safe and home. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads at this moment, and I'm going to ask worship team to come on up. I'm asking you to bow your heads because I think it's helpful when we can process a little bit privately and a little bit on our own. And so there's a couple things that I want to address, and I'm going to invite various ones of you to stand at various moments. And so I just want you to know that ahead of time. But with your heads bowed, I want to talk to some of you right now and say, some of you right now, you know one. You know a person who's one of the ones. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand if there's a name in your head. And I want to be clear here. I don't mean one that used to be here and left to go to another church and we're going to try to get them back. That's not why we're here, okay? But I mean one that maybe used to be here or at some point was a follower of Jesus or at some point knew who God was, and now they're out there sort of on their own, and they're lost, and they're wandering, and they're not safe. And there's a story of some kind. Of course there's a story of some kind. There's always a story. And they didn't fit in. Maybe something happened. Maybe they just got curious. But for whatever reason, they're out there on their own now. And they need somebody to find them. And somebody to go get them and say, hey, come back. You belong here. You're loved. And I suspect that for many of us, there are names in our minds right now. a name that God's dropped into your mind. And I want to pray for those names this morning. And so if that's you and you know a one and you have their name in your head, would you just stand right now? Just stand. Yep. I got somebody in my mind too. And so God, you said you care about the one. Jesus, you showed over and over and over again that the crowd somehow didn't matter as much as the one. And that one person, doesn't matter how big the crowd is, that one person still matters, still is so treasured and so precious to you. And God, you know you've dropped in each of our hearts at least one name, and some of us have so many names we can barely get through them all, but they're ones that you care about and that you love so much and that you're so passionate about. And so God, we lift those names to you, we pray them back to you, and we ask that you would help. And just go ahead and whisper the name of the person that's on your heart right now. Just whisper that as a prayer to God, their name. Go ahead. All of these whispered names that are being brought before you at this moment, God, we ask two things for. We ask, number one, that you would find them. That where they are, the Good Shepherd would connect with them and find them. That, God, you would pour into them a reminder of how much you love them, like that it's just huge. And you would connect with them and you would help them to remember who you are. But God, the second thing we pray is that you would use us to do that. That you would help us to know, give us wisdom and favor and an open door to be able to go after that one and say, hey, I just wanted you to know, still care about you. You still belong. We'd love to bring you back in if you want. God, would you help us to do that? Help us not just to wait for you to do it, but to do that ourselves. And so still with your heads bowed, and those that are standing, you still stay standing, okay? But I want to talk to some of the rest of you right now, because some of you are going, I don't think I know a one, I think I am a one. And you might be here this morning, and you're here, and you're kind of going, I'm not even sure really why I'm here today. And you feel like maybe you don't fit in with all the rest. And you've sort of been maybe wandering or drifting, and you're not quite sure everything that's involved, but you're ready to come back or to be found for the first time. And if that's you, I really want to tell you something. You matter. You matter. And I know it's easy to get lost in a big church like this, but I don't care how big this church gets. If you're one of the ones, you matter. You matter to Jesus, and you matter to us. So if you are a one, I'd really like to pray for you as well, and I would ask that you would stand with the people that are already standing so that I could just pray for you. Yeah, thanks. Yep. Yeah. Jesus, I just say thank you for the ones that have the courage to say, I'm one. God, I just love how you connect with people all the time. I pray that you would pour in to the people that have just stood, and you would just amaze them deep in their hearts with this understanding of how much you love them and that you care about them and that you would leave a crowd to go find them. You brought them here this morning. If you're one of those ones that just stood and said, yeah, I'm one of the ones, you can whisper this prayer yourself. Jesus, I want to be found. I want to come back. Or I want to come for the very first time. Would you just help me to find my way home? Just go ahead and whisper that prayer. He hears it. Pour in, oh God. And now I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand so that every one of us in this room is on our feet. And take a look around at the people that are around you. Go ahead, take a look around. This is what it's about, you know. All of us together walking out our faith together. And in a moment, we're going to head out. I'm going to dismiss the service. I'm going to pray once more. And we're going to head out into a world that, you guys, is filled with ones. At our workplace or at our school or in our families or on the street that we live on. And we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the ones that bring Jesus to all those places. We're the ones that bring Jesus to the ones, and we're called to go find them, and we're called to go do good so that people see Jesus. And we're called to love each other so that people see Jesus. And we're called to be an inside-out church. Do good, love each other, reveal Jesus. So God, as each of us stands here before you now and as we get ready to go, I ask in your name that you would help us to carry Jesus well as we go. You would help us to walk out the doors of this place as the 99, well-fed, strong. You would help us to walk out and go into our workplaces and go to our families and go to our friends and go to our schools and go to all the places that we interact with people. And would you put us on such high alert for the ones? Help us to see them. Help us to notice them, for goodness sake. Help us to reach out to them and say, hey, I just want you to know I care about you. You really matter. You belong. Would you help us to do that well this week, God, and then bring us back safely next week and help us to walk the whole thing out knowing that we're a child of God and we're walking out what you've called us to. So I ask your protection and your covering over every single person, answers and blessing and wisdom and provision. And I ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple things I want to tell you. If you are a person and you want to receive prayer today, because you prayed today and it mattered, you come on to the front. There are elders and ministry team that would be happy to pray with you. And here's the second thing. It's a bit of a surprise. Down at our Connect Cafe, we have Evangel's own jazz band down there playing a little bit. So you go down, enjoy some music, say hi to some people, and God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.